You're listening to Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family. Welcome to Sleep Stories for Equestrians. I'm your host, Ashley Winch. We're so happy you're here to relax and unwind. If you fall asleep and miss the story, we will recap it at the beginning of the next episode. We've also selected and edited these stories for ultimate relaxation, removing any stressful bits without affecting the story's integrity, so you can focus on drifting off to sleep. With that, let's settle down and prepare for our story. The gates are closed. The horses sleep. The day's work done. The chores complete. Now let us rest, our bodies and minds. Drift off to sleep and close your eyes. It's time for us to turn down for the night. Now let's breathe in, breathe out, and turn off the light. One more time, breathe out, breathe in. Now, let us begin. Today's chapter is called The Elf Gives Some Useful Information. I soon became quite happy and at home with Eros too, whose youth made him very anxious to converse with experienced horses like Lyric and myself. He wanted to know how dear master had found out so quickly that he had been badly treated by the man in whose charge he had been left during his absence. And I told him that he would soon notice for himself how very observant master is, and that he can always tell when a horse had been bullied or frightened by man, because when this has been the case, the horse, which has so suffered, always flinches at the approach of man, just as you, Eros, too, did, even though it happened to be our own dear master. The horse, like most animals, distinguishes chiefly by sound and scent. So when master went up quickly to Eros, too, he saw only a man, and a man had been unkind to him. And so he started back and flinched in fear. This show of timidity opened master's eyes, and inquiries proved his surmises to be right, and the man who had bullied and beaten Eros too never had another chance of venting his brutality on any horse at the park. Master took good care of that, and as I have told you before, sent him off at a moment's notice. Master is clever, answered Eros too. Before that man was unkind to me, I wasn't afraid of anyone. But when he made me feel how much he had the power over me, I became so terrified of the sight of a man, made me tremble all over. All the same, Eros too, I said, I do think you ought to know master when you see and hear him. I never mistake his footsteps. Perhaps I shall be as wise as you, dear elf, when I have known master as long, humbly answered Eros too. And Lyric chimed in, yes, you'll learn to love him as we do, for you won't be able to help yourself. I noticed, Lyric said, as we do, and I thought it was rather cheeky of him to class himself with me. But after all, it was only a little thing and would not lessen master's love for me. So I let the remark pass without comment. Since the new horses had come, master and Ricketts spent a good deal of time in my stable, And now, dear humans, I am going to tell you some of the things I heard them talk about, because they all bear on making the life of the horse happy, comfortable, and useful. The first thing I will take is the horse's bit, which is of paramount importance to him and indirectly to you. If a horse is improperly bitted, it hurts his mouth, which is very sensitive, and makes him restive and often sets him kicking. Some humans are silly enough to ask how a horse's mouth can affect its heels. It does not take much common sense to realize that if a horse is comfortably bitted and harnessed, he will go along steadily and quietly. But if, on the other hand, he has a severe bit in his mouth, and his reins are in the hands of a bad driver pulling and jagging at the soft, tender organ, it is no wonder that he becomes irritable. Then, all the little things put him out, which otherwise he would scarcely notice. Just as you humans worry and fidget when some arrangement in your dress feels tight or stiff, as in the case of a boy's collar rubbing his neck. When a horse grows irritable, the results are often serious, so everything should be done to avoid annoying him unnecessarily. Master always uses for us a plain snaffle bit with a large, smooth mouthpiece instead of the severe curb bit so generally used in the present time. Master, too, is very particular about our reins and insists on giving us all possible freedom. None of us wear blinkers, and we can always see where we are going, and so do not get frightened when we hear a noise. We can see what makes the noise, and we all know that that noise won't hurt us, and so we don't back and kick. We just go on as though all were quiet. Think how you would feel if you could only hear dreadful sounds and not know the cause, while if you can see what is making the noise, you are generally pleased instead of frightened, aren't you? In the summer, when the flies are very tiresome, Master allows us to wear fly nets. And if this is necessary for our comfort, for of course we all have the full benefit and use of our tails, how much more must a fly net be indeed a necessity to such horses as poor Dandy and the hackney, Nancy? Our feet, too, are always very carefully and comfortably shod, and although none of us like the heavy iron shoes when we first begin to wear them, we do not mind them after a time. Master has our shoes put on by a first-rate blacksmith who thoroughly understands the anatomy of our feet, and this is much more important to the future usefulness and comfort of the horse than many a blacksmith has any idea of. And I wish all humans who make horseshoeing a profession would really study and carefully look at the book entitled Horse Sense, which can be bought from almost any bookseller for only a shilling. Thank you for joining us on tonight's episode of Sleep Stories for Equestrians. Allow this gentle meditative music to lull you off to dreamland. Thank you.
Thank you.